Yes, how wonderful to be back in Canada. I once stayed in Vancouver, and in Vancouver Island, we had a meeting there with therapists, and it's, I think, 15 years ago. It was my first impression of Canada or BC at this time. And also on Vancouver Island, you probably know there is a little a place for people with special need and curative education home named Ita Wegman. So it was very impressive to come in on the island in the woods, and there was a sign of Ita Wegman. And the story is old, and I think most of the Canadians probably know who are familiar with the story of anthroposophy, that Ita Wegman got an invitation to leave Switzerland in about 38-39 to come to Canada and to start anew with a clinic here in Canada, because they know about all these struggles in Dornach, and that she lost her position in the Goethe Annum. And it was kind of an invitation for a complete new start. And Liane Collot d'Herbois, the painter and close friends of Ita Wegman, she said Ita Wegman accepted, and she would have gone to Canada if the Second World War would has not been started. So in a way, this was an unfulfilled intention. And later on, they took it over and started with a little Ita Wegman place for curative education on Vancouver Island. And so they invited me, I think 15-17 years ago, to see the place and to give some lectures. So this was first time. And I always remember this flight to Canada. I think it was my first flight at all. And to the West, I was always quite distant from United States of America and Canada. I had a special affinity to Canada as a young boy, the Canadians, also in ice hockey and the nature. So for me, it was a fantastic country, not at all being so close to the United States, where I always felt a little distance. I wouldn't say Aramaic, but in a way, I felt a distance. And at school as a boy, I selected not to learn English, but French. In fact, so, but once upon a time, there came a publisher from the United States, Jean Gallagly, to Arlesheim, and he said, I will bring you to the States. I will publish all your books in English. But first of all, you have to come, because people need to see the authors, not only the books. So I said, yes, but I can't speak English. Yeah, you will learn. So, and in fact, then this was my first journey. I took my oldest son with me, Simon, and we went to Vancouver to learn a little bit English and to start. And in the airplane, I was reading the book about Ita Wegman's biography in English. It was translated, and so Emmanuel Seilmann's huge three volumes, most of you will know. And it was such a deep, deep inner experience to go to the West, to read in the airplane in this height, the biography in English. And the experience was even more intense than in German before. I don't know, maybe it was the direction West, maybe it was direction Vancouver, maybe it was Ita Wegman, but I was absolutely touched that this Ita Wegman story and this part of anthroposophy came so close to my heart in the Heights. So the little boy was sleeping and we were on the way to Vancouver. So a long flight, as you know, and now I'm back. Constanza Kalix and me came from the General Anthroposophical Section. Thank you so much for this invitation. We did not know where to go. So in a way we saw, yes, Winnipeg and Toronto, but yesterday in the evening, so it was interesting then to come late by the airplane and so on the countryside here, and then the rain came, and surprising in a way. And now in this wonderful tent, in this wonderful atmosphere of Christmas conference, it is not at all the Goethe Annum, so it's not not a well-established Swiss building, which is always out of money and complaining, the poor Goethe Annum, but an enormous building, an enormous Swiss, but here in, in tents here on the countryside. Very wonderful if we take into account the so-called Christmas conference. And therefore I come to my theme now. I want to give an introduction, more or less spirit recalling Rudolf Steiner and the Christmas conference. A little bit telling about the story behind the conference, also the year before the conference. From my understanding, the conference was an answer to an existing, demanding, difficult situation of society, of economy, of the world history. So anthroposophists in Middle Europe, they have a tendency just to focus on the Christmas conference. But I always thought it is a little bit, if this conference was an answer, we should know the situation before and the need of this conference and the existential dimension of this conference. So I want to start a little bit to describe the situation and then coming closer to the conference itself. I don't know how the situation was in 1923, in Canada, but I can say in Middle Europe, it was a disastrous year. So it was 4 years after the end of the First World War who destroyed Middle Europe. Not only physically, economically, socially, mainly socially and also spiritually. So it was no more the same continent. And let's say in 1913 or 12, before the First World War broke out, you could travel around Europe without a passport. So more or less borderlines, they were not existing. So, but then after the war, nations and borders and poverty and the political unsolved situation, there was no redemption at all. I mean, the war ended, but it went on as a civil war with all these problems of political radicalization, the call for the big state solving the problems. And we know that President Wilson from the United States wanted to erect a system of democratic parliaments in Europe, but in fact it was only formally. So from the outer side, they all now had democratic constitutions brought by the United States impulse. They were established in some years, they were all now democratic states, but in fact the border, the bottom, was full of problems, unsolved social political problems, and all these democratic states, they collapsed in a very short time. And Steiner predicted it in 1916-17. He always said, yes, democracy is very important, but we can't just establish a parliament with parties and say, no, we are democratic states, because industry and the other powers, they are still the leaders. And we have to solve the question how to organize new states, which are not national states. We need new forms to organize public life and economy and also spiritual life and also cultural life and justice. But this was all not done. They established these systems, and then what happened the next few years, 1919, 20, 21, 22, more or less they collapsed step by step, and we had an enormous right-wing movement, authority dictatorships. So it started in Italy with Mussolini. It started previous in the Soviet Union with Lenin and Stalin after the revolution. It started in Spain. It was not Franco, it was the forerunner Primo de Riviera. And in Germany, which was at this time still a kind of a center of Middle Europe, it was an enormous increase of votes for the National Socialist Party of Hitler. And this did not happen in 1933, when Hitler became the chancellor. It started in 1923, when this party was really growing. So at the end of 1923, they had 55,000 members, and they had a weekly organ, Völkischer Beobachter, which was bringing the ideology of National Socialism to the people. And economy was collapsing, inflation was incredibly high, and there was such an aggressivity in especially the German country, and anthroposophy has had no place at all at this time. So Steiner was offended in the newspapers. There was a lot of defamation. It was civil war atmosphere, and spiritual impulses with free schools, free anthroposophical clinics, a free university, so a school for spiritual science, an independent university. This was for a Hitler party absolutely crazy, illegal, and to fight again. So Steiner was attacked in 22 when he gave public lectures in Germany. It was the year before. And in fact, he stopped any public activities in Germany in 22 till the end of his life, because it made no more sense. If he gave public lectures, there were groups of National Socialists and they were shouting and they were trying to attack, and the newspapers were full of defamation. And in November 23, that means just 7 weeks before the Christmas conference happened, Hitler tried to get first the power in Germany. So the first trial to get the whole power of the country happened in November 23. And Steiner said, if those people get the power, my feet can never touch any more German earth, or so I can't go anymore to Germany. And he also said, if they get the power, this will be a disaster for Europe. And so it was in 23, it was not in 33 when it happened. And probably you also know that in October 23, 2 months before the Christmas conference started, Steiner gave a lecture to the workmen of the Goethe Annum about poisons and toxic substances, and he meant also in this talk the cyanide, Blausäure, toxic substances and their catastrophical effects. Not only that people die by these substances, but for the post-mortal journey of the souls. And Steiner was asked afterwards if something is prepared in this sense, or and for the coming the Third World War, the Second World War at this time, and he said yes, things are in preparation. And the man who asked us from the United States, no, he said no, from Germany. So in a way, Steiner was aware of a very, very difficult future for Europe and the world. And when the Christmas conference was held, Hitler was imprisoned, okay, but what he was doing, he prepared. That means he wrote a book, Mein Kampf, My Fight, and they were just preparing. And in Germany, when the Christmas conference was held, there were millions of postcards with Hitler brought to the public. So he had a group behind him preparing the future. Just this as a little image, because in a way, we don't want to celebrate only the Christmas conference, but we are now facing other problems in our time. But I think it's good to know that this conference also was in the middle of a world of abysses. Even if we read the lectures of Steiner in the morning and in the night, there is a complete different atmosphere. I come to the second point. It is a Christmas conference for the Anthroposophical Society, and to make it anew, that the good may become, as it is on the wonderful indication of your conference. And you know that a year before the Christmas conference took place, the Goethe Annum was completely destroyed. So it is always good to imagine that the Christmas conference was really performed, held on the ruins. So every time when people went into the hall to listen to the lectures and to be part of the discussions in the Carpentry Hall at the Goethe Annum Hill, they passed the ruins of the first building. So as a symbol, or real symbol, that this world isn't anymore the world of the 19th or 18th century. And in the night of the fire, I think you also commemorated here it in Canada a year before, in the night of the fire, and in the next morning, Steiner said, we will build again. But to the members of the society, he said, we need to rebuild the society first. We don't need a building for this society as it is. So the Anthroposophical Society, as a more or less association of branches studying anthroposophy, this society was not able to protect the first building and will not be able to protect the second building, because it was a world in flames. I said post-war or civil war. And if we bring such an impulse as anthroposophy with such a building and free schools and a school for spiritual science, then you need a society to keep it. And the outer society, so the general society, did not want to have such buildings, such impulses, such initiatives. The society which wanted to have it was the anthroposophical one. But Steiner suffered from this anthroposophical society to a certain extent, saying, yes, but we can't, we have to do something. We are responsible for this Goethe Arnum or for the Waldorf schools or for the organic farms. We can't just retire and study anthroposophy. We can do this if we had no foundations in the outer world. But as soon as we have a Waldorf school existing in the world, or a school for spiritual science, or an anthroposophical clinic, then we need a protective society, which in a way takes over the destiny of these institutions, or feels that her own destiny is linked to the destiny of these institutions. And then if the newspapers are full of negative propaganda about anthroposophy is crazy or dangerous or esoteric in a negative way, then the society has to respond. There must be a power in the world saying what anthroposophy is. And if the negative propaganda is really influencing all the partly naive or innocent souls, all those people who just read newspapers or listening to the TV, and then they get the impression that anthroposophy is crazy or dangerous or and so on, then a society has to stand for it. Dr. Steiner always said that we have also a society for cardiology, a society of cardiologists, and they have to stand for the science of the heart in the public if there is a need for it. And now we have a society expert for anthroposophy, and they have to stand in the public if the public mind is wrong, or they have to work that people get the truth instead of the distortion. And in a way, he felt really not happy with the existing anthroposophical society, even if he absolutely supported the study groups for anthroposophy, but it's not enough. It is not enough, and he wanted a society to take over responsibility. And he made this quite clear. If not, there is no sense to have a second building, a school for spiritual science. But there is no alternative in a way, because the Waldorf schools were existing, the clinics were existing. We have to go forward. And it was a difficult year, 23, because Dr. Steiner tried in many of the meetings of the society members, first of all in Germany, to bring to awareness, to consciousness, this problem that the society, the anthroposophical one, I mean, has to change. But in fact, if we study now the documents, they did not understand Dr. Steiner. And in a way, they did not know what he was envisioning. In a way, they did not understand why he was complaining or even criticizing. he was always so positive and encouraging. And now there was such a negative mood in a way. And in a way, they were not really close to politics. I think they were not really aware of the disaster coming. They had a feeling that the disaster is in the past. It was the First World War, but it's over. But Steiner was facing, envisioning the next step to the abyss, and they had a mission, but they did not see. I mean, there were people interested in anthroposophy, and some of them, they had their normal lives. Apart from anthroposophy, they had their job, and they did what they did. And in their free time, they studied anthroposophy, so wonderful. But Steiner now said, we need more, at least on the level of the society. I mean, people are free to study anthroposophy for their soul, for their private life. But if we have a society, this is a public organ. And this society has tasks. And he wanted to bring this to a certain awareness. But as I mentioned, they did not really understand what he said. And in a way, he waited. If there are impulses, if they see the need, he was not giving lectures about the society. He was just sitting there on a seat. And once he said, I have not to reorganize the anthroposophical society. I have to address those who have turned to anthroposophy. The anthroposophical society, you decide its fate. So it was not a society for Steiner, and he was no member. In a way, he was a spiritual teacher, and it was not his idea to found an anthroposophical society. It was absolutely needed, but he was always a spiritual teacher, and the society should encourage his research, his publications, and in fact it did. I mean, it was Mari Steiner who founded a publishing house. It was Mari Steiner for the Anthroposophical Society who organized the conferences. As this conference was organized with so much activities, and we need people to organize these things. And Steiner always admired these activities, but it was not his own job to organize the conference and to organize the society. And he waited. If people see after the abyss of the destruction of the Goethe Annum and the abyss of the time, if there is a need of the change of the anthroposophical society, but in fact, it did not happen in Germany, more or less. We can also say they had other problems. It was a poor country now, and in a way, people were without any courage, and they did not know, they couldn't see the way. I mean, they were happy that they met each other as anthroposophists and survived the war, but they had no clear vision what could be the task of the anthroposophical society for the next few years. And in fact, the first Goethe Annum, they had seen it as a place for the mystery dramas and for some wonderful conferences. But the idea of a university for spiritual science, a school for spiritual science, the majority never got the idea. They did not really know what Steiner meant if he said school for spiritual science. For them, as I mentioned, the Goethe Annum was the home of the society and for arts performances, but they had no clear utopia in a positive way in their mind. In February 23, there is a letter of Ita Wegmann where she's saying, from personal conversation with Dr. Steiner, that Steiner in a way said Germany will undergo decay. So the German society and Germany at all won't play an important role for the future in a positive way. And we have to see that from the Goethe Annum there should be direct connections to other societies than the German Anthroposophical Society. And it's good to know that the German society was more or less the society at all for anthroposophy. Many members in other countries were linked to the German society. So the executive council of the whole Anthroposophical Society was situated in Stuttgart. And there was no Canadian Anthroposophical Society at this time, as far as I know. There was only one in Switzerland, an independent one, and one in Sweden. But all the other countries, also France and Great Britain, they had a lot of anthroposophists, but they were members, yes, more or less of the German society. And now Steiner said what we need is societies for anthroposophy in all of these other countries, and then getting them linked to Dornach. So in a way, a transformation has to be done. The Goetheanum shouldn't be anymore, let's say, the building for the German society just be on the borderline, because Munich did not accept the plan for the building, so they escaped just to Basel, just over the borderline. But he said what we need is on this neutral ground of Switzerland, a home place for a world society of anthroposophy. And this is a totally different image than most of the members had before. And he said that the national societies, autonomous, the Canadian and the one in Norway, they should feel that the Goetheanum is also their place. So in a way, that the question of rebuilding is not a German question. It is a question to the international cosmopolitical anthroposophical society. Do we want to have such a building in the Switzerland for all of us, even if we don't have a chance to go there, but we know that it is belonging to us, it is close to our heart. Do we want to have a school for spiritual science there, out of all the societies which have to be founded now in all countries? So he brought such an image. This was interesting for Ite Wegmann, who was never a German person. Ite Wegmann grew up in Indonesia, in Java, and later on came back to Europe. And she always had this cosmopolitan element. So, and so for also Vancouver and Vancouver Island. And for her, this was the image of the future. A world society for anthroposophy, a building in the neutral Switzerland for all of them, where they could meet, and even if they can't go there because airplanes are too expensive, they feel a kind of connection. Or maybe they get a book from there, or later on also television or radio. So in a way, connected, but mainly inwardly also connected. And this was a new vision. I want to mention a third point and then coming to the conference. The third point is Steiner's own path to the Christmas conference in the year 23. So there was a lot of activity for encouraging a new image of the society, but apart from that, Steiner gave wonderful lecture circle courses. And I want to name only one element. In some of the lectures he said, we need a new relationship to anthroposophy. I mean, we study it since 20 years, but it is not a system of ideas. It is not a collection of books and writings and lectures. It is a living being. So anthroposophy is a living being. And we need a relationship as members, as friends of the anthroposophy, to this living being, a direct personal connection. This living being is knocking on your own heart, saying, let me in. I am yourself. I am your true human being. So in a way, what is anthroposophy? Not only a new type of philosophy, an extension of German idealism or whatever, but an essence, an entity, a spiritual being incarnating more and more in this earthly realm by support of a society. The society as a kind of organization enabling the incarnation process of this spiritual being. This was a new perception for many of the members, that more an esoteric relationship, an intimate relationship to anthroposophy as a living substance. This is one of some other motifs in Steiner preparing the future. But when Steiner took the decision to overtake the society, because this was the big step of the Christmas Conference, that Steiner became the president of the society. He himself overtook the full responsibility for the society before has not been a member yet. We don't know exactly. We know from Ita Wegmann's memories that he said in November to her, "If you help me, I will do that." But until November, he was still waiting for initiatives out of the society to bring it to a new level. So it was a late decision in the course of 1923 that Steiner overtook this responsibility. And this was for him a very difficult decision as well, because he said there is an enormous risk if I do it personally, because his own mission was not to organize the physical body. His own mission was this, I would say, communication with this spiritual being of anthroposophy and all the hierarchies around it. In a way, research in anthroposophy is a conversation Steiner held, a dialogue he held over years with the spiritual powers around anthroposophy and anthroposophy itself. In a way, this was what he had to do, to go into this dialogue and to bring the results or the insights out of this dialogue to the earthly realm, what we call his books, his writings and his lectures. But they are the end result of this, yes, I would call it a dialogue, a kind of communication with the spirit. And he was not sure if this communication is going on the same way, if he is the man, the person in creating the physical organ. This is a different task, and also how to say, the society, 12,000 members at this time, part of them quite difficult people with all their personal longings, interests, egotism, desires. I wouldn't say it was unhealthy, but it is a kind of a social body with all its problematic shadow sides and with the lighter aspects. Steiner always took time and always went into conversation with the members, and he was always very devoted to the members, but never responsible for the whole society as an organ. And in a way he said later, "I did not know if I go into this responsibility, if this communication and research will be untouched by this, not spoiled by physical belongings." And it was no question of time, he said. No, this was not the problem, that it takes a lot of time, anthroposophical society is time consuming. No, he said it was another question, it was a spiritual question. Originally, the one who is doing the research should not be the same. And when Annie Besant was the leader of the Theosophical Society and the leader of the esoteric school for theosophy, and he said this is a strong mistake. This was in 97, or he said you can't be the leader of an esoteric school and the one who is responsible for the society. There are strong letters from Rudolf Steiner from 97, and now he was more or less doing the same. And it was not his original intention. In a way, this was a step. He did not know what will be the outcome. In a way, it was not designed by destiny. In a way, it was, he decided to do without knowing the result, without knowing the outcome. And I mean, we all know such biographical situations, but maybe not on this level, where we feel the old security, maybe the old sense of our biography is fading away, or it is not enough for the next step. We have to take the risk out of nothing, with no security, also no inner security, because in a way Dr. Steiner did not know what would be the inner result, not the outer question, the inner. And at a certain point he took the decision to go on and waiting what will happen. And as Ita Wegman said, it was end of November 23, so that means 2 weeks after Hitler's trial to get the power in Germany. I don't want to combine them, to link them too close together, but I said in a way the Christmas conference was an answer. And in a way I think he saw that he needed to try it at least, and to go into this situation. And at the end of November the decision was made. And beginning of December, it is clear that something will happen. From a letter of Ita Wegman, we know that she is writing to a Stuttgart branch leader. This branch leader wanted to come with some suggestions for the future to the Christmas conference. And she said, Ita Wegman, yes, please come, but your suggestions and proposals, they can keep it in Stuttgart. It's no more needed. Dr. Steiner will overtake it here with some co-workers, and he has his vision. So please come, but forget your own suggestions. I mean, for us, it seems to be a little bit, but in a way, it was clear for Ita Wegman that now there will be a new step. And the members had over 9 months' time for their suggestions and proposals, but they were not enough for a new society. Now Steiner took over the risk, and to Murray Steiner, he wrote in a letter, Rudolf Steiner, that for him, this will be the last chance for anthroposophy. The last hopes is the Christmas conference for the society. I mean, not for anthroposophy as a being, but if the society and the School for Spiritual Science as the heart of the society will be prepared now or not. For Dr. Steiner, it was open how it will happen. And it was also open how many people will come. It was also open for you, probably, how many people will come to your conference now in Manitoba. And for Steiner, it was also open. And in a letter to Marie Steiner, she was in Berlin at this time, he's saying, everything now depends on the Christmas event, on the anniversary of the fire, if it's becoming a worthy one, also by the numbers of participants. If this would not be the case, I would consider it best not to build at all. After the bitter meetings in London and The Hague, these were meetings for the national societies, and he realized that the members have no clue what is needed. Bitter meetings, he said. Things can go well here in Dornach after all, but one must also do everything for this. he prepared the conference spiritually and socially. Ite Wegmann prepared a conference in organizing beds and sleeping places. They had not enough beds in Switzerland, so she organized big rooms and carpets. And I mean, you know this from Manitoba, how to organize tents. And Ite Wegmann also organized tents. So she would love to be here, I would say. I mean, this kind of situation in the middle of the rain, with no Goethe Anum, nothing, and no coffee in the morning. I mean, next morning, but today. She would have loved it, because this is how things become anew. I mean, it's not organized on a level of that it's all there. So it is a new starting point, and it's a crisis. And so she prepared a lot for that people could come and invited them and organized very cheap possibilities where they could stay, because Switzerland was at this time still very expensive. And if you came from Germany after the war, you could not afford to go to Switzerland and to buy a meal and so on. So she tried to organize the money that the students could come, the young people could come. And they were very important for Dr. Steiner. He said, we need a society for the young people of the modern age. We need a new type of society to overtake the responsibility for anthroposophy in the world. And Steiner had conversations with the co-workers in the new executive council before the conference was held. And the Dornach members were informed on the 22nd of December, so 2 days before the conference started, about the new executive council. And they were sitting beside Steiner before the Christmas conference. So in a way, they had an archetypal image of what will happen now in the conference itself. Now, the conference itself, I think if you know a little bit this story of the last 35 minutes, it is totally astonishing. If you go into the lectures, this mood, I mean, this mood of light and joy and warmth and humor. I mean, there's a lot of seriousness, of course, in the lectures, in the contents, but it's a wonderful mood in the whole conference. It's all building up in a destroyed situation. And in one lecture, Steiner said, we must think at this meeting, actually everywhere in all cases, of building up and not of tearing down. So there were so many forces of destruction, dissociation, conflict in Mid-Europe world, in the world itself. But this conference, as a counter impulse, was centered on the good, with a hopeful spirit for a new anthroposophical society, a luminous, he said, strahlend. So there should be a lightful organ should be built. And people who went to the Christmas conference, hopefully also from Canada, as this you know better than me, they wrote in their memories, there was such a breathless expectation in between the people. So in a way, they all felt something very important is on the way. A mood of expectation and also of high festivity. So it was in a way, I mean, it was all poor from the countries, from the location. But there was an image of inner resurrection. Steiner said, an inner resurrection festival of the human soul. A resurrection festival, or also a mood of Easter after the destruction of the first building, but also the destruction of Europe, flaming up Christmas light, he said, spiritual fire in the heart. And that's what we perceive if we think as anthroposophists in the direction of the Christmas conference, this kind of flaming heart. But it's so important to see the contrast, not only to focus on this lightful aspect. I said a kind of an answer. And participants, and hopefully also of this conference here, in a certain way, they felt that if they went home, they felt transformed. Willem Seilmans van Emmichhoven said it was as a kind of a birth. He realized, experienced a reborn in the spirit as an individuality. Ida Wegmann said we all became different persons by this conference or by this event, or but the terminus is not enough. A conference is a conference and an event is an event. But this was a process. This was a process of transforming and enlightening human souls. And of course, something happened there, as you all know, this so-called foundation laying. And this was, as Sergei Prokofiev always underlined, it was not only a meditation. I mean, we got the meditation to remind and to live with it, and to, in a way, to internalize this substance which is living in the foundation stone meditation. But the foundation stone meditation and the foundation stone itself, it is not the same. Sergei tried to say it is the meditation is the envelope of the stone, but this is also an image, and it's not so easy to find the appropriate images for this relationship in between the stone and the meditative verse, or what we hear and also perform on Eurythmy, and the stone as a stone, and what kind of substance is living in that stone. This Steiner called it a love foundation stone, and said we have to form it and to shape it and then to internalize it into our heart. A love foundation stone. He did not say, but in a way there is grail substance. A lot of people felt it who took part. And when they said we felt transformed as human beings, it was not only by the act of the foundation stone lying, but obviously there was a connection to it. A kind of a life germ, Steiner said, is living in this stone. And for this ritual, it was kind of a ritual of this laying of the foundation stone. Steiner closed the door of the carpentry hall. He took the key and closed the door. And then he had the key in. And some of them, they were outside and they heard it from the outside. So it was, something happened there. Seilmann said it was a mystery act, in fact. And now we will try on the Christmas conference this year in the Goetheanum, and I think in many countries also, to realize and also to confront ourselves also with this mystery act. We can't recapitulate, we can't copy it, but in a way we need a deeper understanding of what happened there. A mystery act, and Seilmans, this Netherlandish anthroposophist, said in full public. The first mystery act in full public. Now you can say these were all members of the Anthroposophical Society, but Simon said they were very different in their relationship to anthroposophy. It was more or less an average of our time. You can't say this was a special crew by destiny. I mean, the reasons why they had a card or not were very, very different. He said it was public. The first mystery act in full public. I mean, maybe the first one was the mystery of Golgotha, I would say, in full public. But a kind of, I don't want to compare it at all, but in a way, yes, it's a new time of history where the spirituality has to be brought to the world and not only to special groups. with special streams and seclusiveness, but to the full public. This was the impression of Willem Sijlemans. And it was announced before that most important of the Christmas concerts will be the first 2 days. You could read this in the Goethe Annum newspaper. So das Goethe Annum, Albert Steffen was inviting to the conference all the members of the society worldwide and said, most important will be the first 2 days. Steiner will give the headlines of the future, and then by the foundation Stein Loewing, Steffen wrote, the society, the international general anthroposophical society, will receive its consecration. This is was written in the Wochenschrift, the consecration. And this is very important because it is also not a foundation stone for the second building, it is for the society. The society got the consecration, not the building. I mean, the building was out of the society, but in a way it was a foundation stone for a new community or for a new society for anthroposophy, with a destiny mission, with a future orientation. And then after this was done, then by the meditation and the rhythm, it was all the time present in the conference, you know it. And so 27 times the terminus Menschenseele was spoken by Steiner, 27 times because of the rhythm and so on, Menschenseele. So it was a true dedication for human soul. And forming this new society, we know the statutes, Dr. Steiner was working on 14 statutes. And for this new gathering, but maybe you are, if you are not so familiar with the story of the society, you felt a little bit shocked by Steiner's leadership. On the way, he decided to take over the responsibility and in so far leadership. But on the other side, and this is very important to understand the Christmas conference, he wanted to have it, the society, not as one from a hierarchy directed. So he brought the statutes, but as proposals, he said. I mean, he worked 4 weeks on the statutes, but he said, these are proposals. And all the members got them. The wording was distributed at the beginning of the Christmas conference, and Steiner wanted to discuss each point that really the members read and reflect and think and discuss. So a joint discussion on the final wording. And there were changes. Very interesting, this conversation. And the second social point I want to mention, that he wanted to have reports from the country societies. So some of them, they were quite new, just founded. But so we had 15 reports from the country's societies, 15, always in the morning. And after each of these reports, Steiner said, really, I thank you so much for this great, dedicated work for anthroposophy. So he totally respected the societies, what they tried to do. I think we all feel permanently overburdened by the task of an anthroposophical society. I mean, Bert and the other friends, and I mean, we all feel all the time overburdened because we can never say we are the ones who are able to create a society Steiner envisioned. And we see the need, but how to do it practically? And we have limited possibilities. But we try, and all those people tried. So for Steiner, it was always difficult to criticize, because on the other side, he saw the total devotion of those people and he wanted to have these reports and said to the other one, listen to the countries. I mean, the Swiss people just, they are in Switzerland and they think that the Göttingen is belonging to them. But in fact, it is belonging not, it is not Swiss property. The Göttingen is landed there on neutral ground. But so he wanted to have world interest of the Swiss and also the German members to what is going on with anthroposophy in so distanced countries. And then he, with the Christmas conference, he extended this weekly journal, Das Göttingen, and said, now we need weekly reports from other countries. And there were people named with personal responsibilities, 14 people also correspondents for the next epoch of this weekly organ, that they write regular reports from their countries. They are not the same than the general secretaries, because Steiner wanted to have gifted writers. Some of them, they were also gifted writers, but not all of them. So Steiner was looking for gifted people who are able to report. And not just that everybody who wants to send in, yes, they can, but he also wanted to have a correspondent element. Then there were lectures or contributions, as you have it here in the in your own conference, from the work fields. So there was somebody who was talking to in the Christmas conference about the situation of the Waldorf schools. And there was somebody talking about natural science initiatives in anthroposophy. There was somebody talking about the situation of anthroposophical art. Because if we think of Christmas conference, we think quite often Steiner's lectures and the evening lectures of Steiner, but there were many other contributions. And this gave a taste, an image of the living society for the human soul of today. And also I said for the young people, that they see the Waldorf schools and their destiny is also the destiny of the society. So a new society open to the world with a new executive council, and then very important, the co-workers of Steiner in the council, they were all section leaders of the high school. So it was a new foundation of the society and the school for spiritual science. And now it became clearer for most members that Steiner wanted to have a kind of university with medicine as a faculty, with education as a faculty, natural science as a faculty, and many others. And what means university? This means research in a new type of medicine, teaching in this new type of medicine, enabling people to become anthroposophical therapists, and helping, supporting anthroposophical institutions in this field. So Ita Wegmann's clinic as a high school clinic was Steiner's intention. And he wanted also to have a Waldorf school on the hill of the Göttingen, which was difficult with the Swiss authorities, the locals. But so that's, and the co-workers in the council were section leaders. That means it is not the same, the society and the university or the school for spiritual science, but there is a close relationship. And yeah, looking to the limited time, maybe two last elements. One, it is very important for me at least. It is such a serious foundation, the Christmas conference, and such in such a difficult world. But it's interesting to see that Steiner did it with such a, I would say, humorful attitude. Ita Wegmann said, it was so interesting to see Steiner in the Christmas conference. He was lucky. He came with this wonderful, fresh atmosphere. It was all future. And in a way, after all this burden of the past, the war and the problems of the society and economy, it was such an enthusiasm, such a loving atmosphere. And also the humor was an element. Steiner not only gave these wonderful lectures, he also made all the announcements about the seats and the carpets, about the found objects, about everything. And they should give back the and so on. And then he said, yeah, we have not enough space. So the locals, he said, so the Swiss people around, they should take place outside of the building. And they should be rained on. It was the same, it was rainy. And in fact, the only protected space was inside the carpentry, but it was too small for 700 people. So he said, the donor friends, they have to be outside. And this is not out of some vindictiveness, he said. This is because of we have guests here. And in so far, and he said it with such a wonderful humor. This, and so people were really sitting around on stacks of boards. They were on workbenches, on window ledges. They stood against the walls. They had heavy coats and blankets, as you have. It was extremely cold. The only warm place was the canteen afterwards. But this carpentry was quite cold. But they created warmth. And Steiner had this elastic step, Ita Wegmann, and said this shining face, he was happy. So don't allow the destructiveness to come in. I mean, knowing about that it's everywhere. And not being, again, Essenians saying, no, Ahriman is outside, so he's always with us. But creating on another level, yes, a new substance for anthroposophy, a new decision for the spirit, and also a new courage to represent anthroposophy in that world, in this existing world, that anthroposophy can live among people. And he wanted to create a new courage of representing, conducting anthroposophical affairs in that world. So spirit recalling, it means to recall the situation, I think, but far beyond. Spirit recalling also means, but this is more common under anthroposophists, a kind of an insight that these people coming together in Dornach carpentry shop and also in other places, they have a destiny. Spirit recalling means also remind yourself that you are incarnated as an individuality for tasks on in this earthly situation, in this time, to take over this task. And in 24, he gave the karma lectures about the tasks, the destiny tasks of the society. But this destiny was present in the carpentry shop without talking too much. In the evening lectures, he talked about old spiritual impulses. So let's say the history of the society. How can we gain a capacity in following, serving spiritual impulses from the spiritual world? Anthroposophical society has to follow spiritual impulses, but we need courage and we need each other, because yes, only if two or three are in my name together, then I can be with them. So we are all individuals, but the society question is just the question for two or three, or 200 or 300, or 100,000. So there was a new beginning of spirit recalling, recalling of the past, but also recalling of the time in which we live at this time. And you heard it in the morning, this the verse, and also the recalling within the limbs. I mean, that we really have to do anthroposophy, which is in the working groups also very present, that we have it in the limbs, in this world of space, that we, it is part of our biography, and we need the spirits of strength to fulfill it in a way. And the strength, and this is maybe the really last point, comes out of the heart. For me, the Christmas conference has to do with the mystery of the heart as an organ, as a Christ organ of mankind. The society, he said, belongs to our deepest heart matters. This heart is really an organ of destiny and cognition. And it's interesting that the foundation stone was laid into the heart, not into the brain, and not into the limbs, even if we need the limbs and the heads. But it's laid into the heart. And he also said the problems of the anthroposophical society, they can only be solved in the heart. The harmony of the hearts beating together. So, a conference of the mystery of the heart, in a way. Yeah, I hope that I gave you a kind of an image of this event or this process of transformation. And now is the break and then the working groups. But I hope that this image now just coming to Manitoba from this very special hill in Switzerland and connecting, that this is, image is something we should live with, or we can live with. And it's, for me, it's very appropriate to be here in this situation, in the tent, in the middle of the rain, in a world with an unknown future. And this is an atmosphere of Christmas conference, even if we like the sunshine and we hope that it will come back. But this situation, and then to find these power forces in the mystery of the heart. Thank you so much for your attention.